Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
No, I'll just read it. It says, for in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Everybody say, faith working through love. See, faith requires some kind of a trust relationship to be established between the one that you have faith in. With God, we have to trust that He is a God of His Word. Now, initially, we don't have a relationship with God, right? When we become born again, we are trying to begin our relationship with God. So we don't know God as we would later come to know God. If you remember, James or John talks about in his letter, I think it's verse chapter 3. Let's go to that real quickly, even though it's not one of the scriptures that I had here. 1 John chapter 3. I think it's 3. Let me see. Is it 3 or 2? Actually, it's 2. It says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you and it for his name's sake. And then he goes and says, I write unto you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. Notice how the children just know that their sins are forgiven. But the fathers, which imply a older, more mature person, has come to know who God is. Amen? So as we progress in the gospel, as we progress in the faith, as we progress in our understanding of God, the love for God becomes greater and greater. And our faith in God grows with our love for God. So faith works through love. Now, that's why it's so important to understand and have a relationship with God, because as you have a relationship, your trust and love for God grows and your faith in God grows. Everybody say grows. Sometimes when you know people, your trust factor for that person is larger than somebody that you don't know. Am I right? I mean, somebody come up to you and say, hey, can I hold your wallet for you? Just a stranger off the street. You say, hey, can I hold your wallet? What would you say to that person? No, why? You don't know them. But if you gave your wallet to your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, you wouldn't usually, I'd say usually, but you don't usually worry about what's going to happen with your wallet because you know them, you trust them, and you love them. Amen? And they to you, vice versa. So as we learn to love God, our faith in God grows. And you might say, well, how do you get to learn to love God? You get to learn to love God when you understand His great care for us. Amen? I mean, when we read scriptures, I know we read this so much. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When we read that, we say, man, that's so wonderful. But if you understand the magnitude of that passage, then you understand that this is a God you can trust. This is a God you can love and honor and respect. This is a God you can believe in. He that didn't spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, that's like, wow. I mean, we read the Bible so much, we lose the magnificence of what we read sometimes. You guys know what I mean by the magnificence of what we read? The awe-inspiring nature of what we are now understanding as something that is just common as a believer. But the more you learn to love and understand and know God, the more faith rises in your heart because of the great love that he has for us. And that's why when you read Galatians 5 and 6 and says that faith works through love. You can't believe in God if you don't honor and respect and love God. And the reality is that there is no other faith that actually presents their God as a loving being. Did you guys know that? There's no other religious philosophy that presents God as a lover of his creation. Other than Judaism, of course, which is Old Testament, and the New Testament God that Jesus reveals even greater the love that God has for him, us. But there's no talk about love in most religions that God loves people. It's just not there. Think about it. Have you ever heard the Buddhists talk about how much God loves them? Well, even Buddhism is actually considered a godless faith, for that matter. That means they're about trying to achieve a certain level of perfection, or their perfection, they're saying it's a level of to take away the desires is what they're after. Buddhism is after removing the desires for life. But Hinduism, they don't talk about the love of God. Islam does not talk about the love of God. That is why that when, if you look at the music that comes out of these religions and the music that comes out of the church, it's just so different. I was looking at a website with some African praise music, and I saw some commentaries from some Muslims that, this song is so wonderful. I'm a Muslim, but I believe in, you know, we believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in that Jesus that is being revealed in that song because they don't believe that Jesus died for their sins. So the magnitude of love, as this is what I'm really trying to get at, is where God wants to get us, because as we love, we have great faith, great trust in God. And that, of course, then the love takes us to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is commonly referred to as the love chapter, right? And it says, when you get to it, it says, starting not on the first two, but verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, really, this is a description of the love of God. This is not our love. This is what we hope to attain to, but we are nowhere near any close to that. But when you see this as a description, because all these characteristics are what God is. God is long-suffering towards humanity. Amen? He is kind towards humans. He surely doesn't envy us. There's nothing about us to be envious. He doesn't parade his love before us, but he offers it to us. He is not puffed up. Puffed up means that you have a unreliable presentation of yourself. God knows who he is. And he doesn't have to be puffed up because he is who he is. He's the one that got this whole program into place. So there is no way that he could be puffed up because he is what he is, all that, as we say. It says he doesn't behave rudely, does not seek his own. God does not seek it his own. He seeks our well-being. If God sought his own, he wouldn't waste his time trying to save humanity. Right? I mean, if it was just about him, what do I need these people for? I just start all over again. Right? I mean, he told Moses he was going to do that. He said, here, let me get rid of this group and take you and start all over again. And Moses said, please, Lord, don't do that. Don't have mercy on your people. But God, he's not easily provoked. He is provoked eventually, but he's not easily provoked. Because of the things that humanity has done, you would think that God would have risen up and said, oh, that's enough. That's it. I mean, he did do that in the just before the flood, but for the most part, he bears with people's sin to try to get people to turn from their sins. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity or sin. He rejoices in the truth. And of course, Jesus is the truth. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But when you look at God and have an understanding of the love of God, then you understand that our faith is motivated or prompted or instituted by the love that God has for us and has revealed to us. Some of us don't feel loved because of our past relationships. But once you get a revelation of the love of God, that can undo all that harm that has been a part of relationships that went wrong. Amen? That's what the Bible calls freedom. That's why Jesus says that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. He pushes out of you all the junk that we have in our lives. Once we get a glimpse of his love, his freedom, and his provision that he's made for our sin and everything in our life. Think about it. Let me just ask that. How many had a bad relationship? Just raise your hand in your life. How many had a bad experience in your life? How many still can remember what happened in those bad relationships and bad experiences? How many have allowed that to affect future relationships and experiences? That's what God wants to undo. He does not want the bad relationship and experiences to affect the next experience. Now, what we in the flesh call that coping skills or defense mechanisms. Say, so, well, yeah, I liked that girl when I was a teenager, and I told her I liked her, and I was all crazy about her, and she just kicked me to the curb. And I was so hurt, I told myself the next time I like a girl, I'm never going to do X, Y, and Z. Remember saying those things? Or next time I get a job, I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to let them do that to me anymore. Those are all defense mechanisms, but you really closed yourself up from being vulnerable is what you're thinking. But vulnerability is another word for trust. So when you close your heart from being vulnerable, you also close yourself from trusting people. And some people don't deserve your trust, and you have to be discerning of who you give your trust to. But let me just say this, you have to trust people. Did you hear what I said? We're talking about God too. You have to trust God, but as you trust God, you have to learn to trust people, because that is where you're healed, and through the trusting of people.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of...
Amen. And you might say, well, Pastor, what does this have to do with doing the works of God? Well, I'm getting there slowly, because all these things, the love, our love life, our trust life, and all the things affect our faith life and how we think God will deal with our individual physical condition, mental condition, emotional condition, whatever the condition you're dealing with. It is affected by how we have responded to those things that we just talked about. Let me go to now a few examples. Now, ask yourself this question. What is the area that keeps you from trusting God fully for whatever it is that you're trying to trust God for? What is it in you that keeps you from doing that? All right, let me go through a few passages. Let's go to the Exodus story, Exodus 13, 26 through 31, and then we're going to go back to Matthew 13 through 18. So let's go to Exodus first. What did I say? Exodus what? No, that's Matthew. Exodus 13, 26 through 31. There's both 13s, but not 13, 13. So this is the story of the spies. Everybody knows a spy story, right? Well, maybe you don't. If you don't know the spy story, as you know, the children of Israel come out of Egypt. They wander in the desert only for a short period of time, initially. They build the tabernacle. They do all these things. And by the time they get to chapter 26, did I say 26? What did I say? I think I got the wrong chapter there. Exodus 13, 26 through 31. There's no 26 through 31, so it must be, let's see if it's 14. Oh, I'm sorry, not Exodus, Numbers. Sorry, Numbers. So anyway, so they're coming out of the wilderness, and God tells Moses to appoint 12 people, 12 leaders. Everybody say leaders. Leaders should be what? People of example, right? Am I right? People should be, leaders are the example to the rest of us. So in verse 26, he says, now they departed. These are the spies. I'm not going to go through the first picking of it. He said, they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, verse 26, Numbers 13, 26. And all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows from with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, let me say this about all Moses sent the spies in the land to do is just to look it over. He did not ask them their opinion on whether you thought God could give you the land or not. Okay? That's not what he sent them in there to do. But because of their own inhibitions, everybody say inhibitions, they came back with an opinion about what they felt God had told them to do. And this is what their opinion was. And it says, and when we saw it, verse, it says, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. I skipped down too far. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So that was Caleb's opinion, and he was agreeing with God. But the people, the other leaders, but the men who had gone with him said, we are not able, everybody say, not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So they went in and saw things that intimidated them, and they changed their mind that they were not going to get the land. They didn't think they were able to get the land. They had created in their minds that they weren't, that it wasn't for them. And so when I go back to the question I asked us, what is it that's keeping you from trusting God? What is it that caused these people not to trust what God had told them he was going to give them? What they saw. So the question is, what are we seeing in our lives, or what are we hearing in our lives that are trying to keep us from trusting God fully? What is it? And, you know, that might not be a question you can answer right today. You got to go back and meditate on this thing. What is it, God, in me that keeps me from not letting go and allowing you to do in me what you want to do in me? They saw it was the giants and the land being fortified. Well, fortified, you guys know what fortified means, that walls and forts, yeah, right. They were hard to penetrate. But notice, Jericho had a fortified wall and didn't stop anybody. If you get on his program, forts don't hurt him. Amen? That stuff doesn't keep him from doing what he promised. But let's go to 13. So there is their seeing. They saw stuff and that intimidated them. So let's go to the New Testament and read about the sower story. So Matthew 13:13 is the parable of the sower, right? You guys remember that? One fell on good ground, one fell on bad ground, et cetera, et cetera. So 13:13 is the explanation of the parable. So 13 says, therefore I speak to them in parables, seeing they see and don't hear, don't see and hearing they don't hear, nor do they understand. It says, but blessed are your ears, I skip down to 16, for your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. Now 18 says, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes out and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, so first question is this. Are you a person that reads the Bible and you have trouble believing it, and therefore you kind of dismiss it? Ah, you know, that's a great story, but I don't know if that's true. And you just kind of move on. Is that us? Does that identify you? The next one says this. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. You're glad about it. Yet as he has no root in himself. What does root mean? Foundation, but what's another word? You guys that grow plants, why do you have to have roots? To stabilize them, to make that sure that there's nutrition flowing through it, right? And so, in other words, they hear the word and they don't get stabilized in the truth that they just believed and received with joy. And therefore, they're not anchored to the truth that they were so happy about. Amen? And then it turns around and they say this, and immediately, where was I? 20? 21? Yeah, okay. But endures only for a while. When tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So that means that as soon as you get the word and you're excited about it, Michael mentioned this, there's going to be a test to see if you believe this. Now, the test don't come from God. The test comes from your flesh. It comes from your friends. It comes from those around you. It comes from circumstances that ask you, do you really believe what you say you believe? And let me see if you do. And when it's hard, a hard test, everybody say a hard test, you fail. Because there's no root, no anchor to sustain you. That's why when you go, when you become a new believer, you need to attach yourself to another more experienced believer. That's why you go to church, so that you can become anchored in truth. Because like Michael says, trouble is coming. And I don't care what anybody else in the body of Christ has told you in the past. Trouble is coming. So get ready for it. Amen? There's just no way around it. As long as you're on this sin-stained earth, trouble is coming. Amen? And it's coming from some unexpected places. You know, the expected are, well, maybe you lose your job, or maybe you something happens here or something happens there. But sometimes it's something you don't even expect. But you've got to know that what you believe can stand the storm of trouble that's coming your way. Amen? And so the next one says, 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns, those are, if you want to keep it in a grass thing, thorns are weeds, right? You know, my grass, especially in the summer, yeah, at first it looks good in the, when the rain starts, it's green, but really it's just weeds. And when it gets hot, only thing that grows are the weeds. You know, the grass is being burned up, but the weeds are, nothing bothers weeds. I don't know what it is about weeds. The hot doesn't kill them. The water doesn't kill them. They just live on. But the thorns are there. It says the thorns show up. And he who hears the word, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful, which means that you're a Christian, but you got business to do. I'm a Christian, but I got business. And your business is choking out your spiritual life. You're not allowing your spiritual life to rule your business. And I'm not talking about business as in I have a business, but you know what I mean. When I say business, you guys know what I mean. We allow our stuff to keep us from doing what God wants us to do, our activities. And, you know, some activities have to even go by the wayside, but some people are not willing to do that. You know, sometimes God will tell you to give away your boat if it gets in the way. I love my boat. I don't have a boat. Never really wanted one. But if I had one, you know, usually you want to use it, right? But sometimes you have to stop doing something. And when I got saved, I had to stop watching football. You might say, what? Football? Yeah, football. Because I was a football junkie when I got saved. Because I played it and I watched it. As we didn't even have as many channels now as we did then. But I watched as many as I could watch. And because I was trying to consecrate my life to the Lord, he told me when I stopped playing, you need to stop watching. So we didn't watch football for the decade of the 90s. And we slowly were able to come back to it, but we still have to keep it in the right perspective. That's why I won't ever cancel service for a game. That's why you have DVRs. You could tape the game. I tape games. But I'm not going to let a game keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do. Especially a game I don't play in anymore. It might have been a different thing if I was playing, but I don't play, so it's not going to stop me from doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen? So we have to sometimes rearrange the things we do. This is what it means by the cares of life. The cares of life are dictators. They tell you what you need to be doing. And when you follow their dictations, you're no longer being led by the Spirit. You're being led by the cares of this life. And they cause you, your spiritual life, to be choked. And then, of course, the good ground is where you hear the word, the way that you understand it, and then you begin to bear fruit and produce life, which means you grow in the faith, you share your faith, all the things that are part, it just becomes a part of who you are. And there's no way that people talk you out of it. Amen? Well, I'm going to stop here, but this is what the question you need to ask yourself. Where do you fall into this picture? Is it like the children of Israel? Or is it this parable that shows where you need to let go and allow God to change you? This is what keeps us from having the faith that we need for God to do things in our lives. The more we surrender, the greater our faith and trust in God has to become. Amen? Amen? All right, let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, and we just pray, Father, that you would teach us, show us what it is that might be holding us back, what it is that has a grip on our life that is keeping us from being all that you've called us to be. Lord, you said that if we don't deny ourselves and take up your cross and follow you, we're not worthy of you. So that means that we have to go through our life and find out what are those things that we need to set aside so that you can work in us. And Lord, it might be hard, but Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to pay that price, because you paid a great price to turn our lives around. We want to do the same and to show you, not to earn your salvation, but to surrender our lives in a greater dimension to you. So Lord, reveal to us, show us your ways. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. I guess I should have talked.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be